You know, that song that we just sang really speaks to the fact that we're all really what people need in the world. There's hundreds of millions, I imagine, of these books just sitting on people's shelves, sitting on dusty old cabinets, hidden away under beds, lost and forgotten. But we're not like that. We are really the world's only Bible. We can step out into the world and we can be that shining light. And many of us are really kind of afraid of that. I really appreciate Brother Randy's prayer this evening. I always appreciate them, but especially tonight, because he touched on the idea of planting the seed, being that only Bible that people read, sharing the real powerful and good news about Jesus Christ, about our sin, about repentance, and about salvation through the blood of the resurrected Savior. And so those are great thoughts to hang on to based upon that song that we sang. And that last verse of the song really kind of sums it up, that what if we're not? What if we're not being the Bible? What if we're not sharing the Word? What if people aren't hearing through us God? Well, you know, I don't want to be in that position when I face Jesus. I don't want to be there. And so this evening, really based on a different thought today from this morning's lesson, I was thinking about the idea that we're all of the same spirit. We should be. Because there's really only two spirits in the world, the spirit of the devil, the spirit of wickedness, evil, and the spirit of God, of goodness, holiness, and righteousness. And so we have to be one or the other. We really don't, you know, there is no middle spirit. And so we think about the idea. It's really a very powerful thing when you sit down and mull it over. David, he wrote in the book of Psalm 143 and at verse 10, he said, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God." What a spirit. Your spirit is good, he said. Lead me in uprighteousness. Lead me into the land of uprightness. What a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful thought. He said, your spirit, God, is good. You know, the lyrics to the song, they can remind us of how wonderful and how powerful, how joyous it is, how encouraging God's words were to us. And when we think about the words of the Apostle Paul, if you look in your Bibles to the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he writes these words. Look down there, chapter 4, verses 13 and verse 14. 13 and 14. See, Paul says, verse 13, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." So this evening, I want to kind of touch on this idea that we all have the same spirit. We are Christians And when we are in Christ, we have the Spirit of God in us, and that's the same Spirit. The same Spirit that David had. You know, that Psalm 116 is a powerful psalm. If you look at Psalm 116 with me, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 10, and I want you to keep a finger there or a bookmarker there because we're going to refer a little bit back and forth. Psalm 116. And look at beginning at verse 8. This psalmist, and I got to tell you, most commentators, most theologians believe that this psalm was written by David, just based upon some of the things that are said. But we don't really know 100% for sure. So I just want to say that. But they do ascribe it to King David. And if it was David, you know, it's kind of easy to see how David is contemplating that the many gracious and powerful deliverances by the hand of his mighty God were provided to him. How many times God helped David. And so the psalm says here in Psalm 116, 8 through 10, he says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Now look at verse 10. "I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." I believe, he says, and therefore I spoke. I think if you notice that that's actually very similar to what the Apostle Paul said. "I believe, and therefore I spoke." And so we believe, certainly there's a connection here. And so when we see the Apostle Paul, it looks like he's very succinctly repeating or quoting from this psalmist, which I don't have a problem believing as David. But I want you to kind of hold that spot, hold the Psalm 116. And let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4 for a second. And what we need to understand in 2 Corinthians 4 . We can see this comparison. And as we look at this, we realize that the world out there, you know, they're going to think we're strange because of the faith that we have. And the fact is that we're told by Peter that we will suffer according to the will of God, and we need to commit ourselves. We need to commit our souls to God in doing good as a faithful creator. And so, yeah, there's a fiery trial, and there's many strange things that might happen to us because of this common faith that we have. And even when we suffer, we realize that God is there. And he's going to help see us through that. And so we go over and we look. We're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul, he's looking back to this psalmist. He's giving the same kind of thanksgiving for deliverance from death and other problems. And he finds this as a source of strength, a source of encouragement. And what we want to do is connect the dots and realize that David had the Spirit of God working in him. So did Abraham. So did Noah. Right? Elijah. Elisha. Nehemiah. We go back and we see these men of God from as far back as you want to go, and they all, when they are considered godly people, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, they all have the same Spirit. The same exact Spirit that we have. When we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into His death. And Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2 that we're baptized for the remission of sin and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit. It's the same Spirit that led the people in the wilderness, the same Spirit that defeated Sennacherib's army, the same kind of Spirit that has led so many godly men to victory over the centuries. You have that same exact Spirit. Never forget that. David, Paul here is going back, and now I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 4 again. Okay? The Spirit helped Paul, helped David, helped Nehemiah, Joshua, and so on to continue on fighting for the cause. And in much the same way, we, being of the same faith, of the same Spirit, we can look back just like Paul does, which is what I want to do tonight. We're looking back and we see all these victories in Christ. Right? Read the love or the faith chapter rather in Hebrews and you see all the victories based on faith that came through the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again, verses 7 and following. Here's what we notice here. You know, when Paul wrote this text at verses 13 and 14, we have to go back and we see the context, what he said before that. In verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And finally, verse 12, so then, death is working in us, but life in you. Understand the we's and us. When he says we, he's talking about himself. And he's talking about all the apostles, the entourage that's with him. The people who are out in the battlefields. They're out on the front line and they're fighting the good fight. They all are experiencing and relying upon that same Spirit of God. And they can look back and they see the people who were before them, who had that Spirit and the accomplishments that they were able to do through that same Spirit. Like the psalmist. Like David. Like Solomon. We think of these great experiences. And he's saying here, we've been going through an awful lot of trouble. You know, we're hard pressed. We're despair, forsaken. Always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord. He's talking about some pretty heavy things. And yet, he says, and since we have the same Spirit of faith, Same spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. What's he talking about? David, Nehemiah, Joshua, Caleb, Abraham, down the line. We need to understand that. We have that same spirit. That's what he's saying. He says, we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believe and therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised us up, or raised up the Lord Jesus, listen, will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. You know, that you was pointed to the saints in Corinth, but that you is pointing to us because it applies to us. He, that same spirit that allows him and guided him to say those magnificent words is the same spirit we have. And it has promised us that in that day we will be raised up together with those of faith before us. I love that. Now, I think that's really wonderful. So now, you know, he's outlined all the troubles that he and his companions have gone through, the other apostles. And you note the words in Psalm 116 again, at verse 3. Psalm 116, verse 3. See what he says? This writer says, the pains of death surround me, and the pains of Sheol, the grave, lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Look at verse 4. Then I call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. And if this is actually talking about David, he did. Whatever psalmist this was, he must have, because we just read about the success. Verse 8, you have delivered my soul from death. Boy, I just love this theme. This idea that the same spirit that was with Noah, the same spirit that was with Abraham, right? And all those that I've mentioned before, that same spirit going down the line that God gave man is the same spirit that we have today. It's never changed. And so when we look at this, we remember, and I showed this earlier, didn't mean to, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. It's going to happen. And then we read on. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. Why? Because we know that regardless, his spirit is with us. We know that whether in life or death, we're going to be victorious. We understand because we share the same faith. We believe in the same God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is arisen from the grave. He has the power over sin and death. And the Spirit tells us that now we, like Peter, like Paul, we also understand that God will deliver us. That's what he said. And so when you think of that, you know, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. That's what Paul said. He made that pretty clear. Now when you think this through, realize that we are in the world, and that the devil, who is, you know, he's here. And he has a plan. He has a purpose. He has motive. And he wants to destroy you. And he does it through this thing called persecution. Persecution has a purpose. It's all designed by the devil. And there's two things that I thought, but it's, the purpose is to cause you to give up. And we've seen saints fall by the wayside because they give up. And the second purpose is to cause you to shut up. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to either give up, which is in a sense shutting up, or he wants you to shut up, do anything you want, just shut up. Don't talk about Jesus. You know, that's the spirit of the world. We've talked about that in our morning lessons. That's the spirit of the world. You can't talk about Jesus. You just shut up. But the spirit of God that we are endowed with enables us, empowers us all to go in a different direction. So we're not going to shut up and we're not going to give up. You see, the Spirit of God, he says something totally different. He says, don't give up. And he also says, don't shut up. You look at Acts chapter 4 and verses 18 through 20. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. This is something that we should be familiar with. But we'll go over and look at this. It's a pretty simple example of the power of God's Spirit within us. So Peter and John, they're commanded, okay? And this is no light thing. They're threatened, they're commanded. You don't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. You read that right away. And when we think about what was their response? Right? What was their response? You're not allowed to speak or teach in the name of Jesus? He said, well, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. And then they said, but we cannot, but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They're not going to shut up. And they're not giving up. You know, when they were thrown out of a city, more often than not, they turned right around and went back in again. What about Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29? Again, we got Peter and the apostles. They're together in this. And they're on trial. And what are they on trial for? For healing people. For casting out demons. For teaching about Christ. You know, they're on trial for doing good things. That should sound kind of familiar to us today. They did that to Jesus because he did good things, same spirit. They did that to all the apostles, the early saints, same spirit was with them. And listen, they threatened them. Right? Peter and they and the apostles, they're brought before the council. And the high priest says to them, what does he say? Did we not strictly, right? Didn't we ask you? No, did we not strictly command you? Do not teach in this name. Verse 28. Didn't we strictly told you? We didn't ask you. We weren't being polite or anything. We just told you. You know, I remember strictly. I know what that means. And he says, and look, the high priest, look, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. It wasn't their doctrine, it was the doctrine of Christ. And you intend to bring this man's blood, Jesus Christ's blood, on us. What was their answer? What did they say? Did they say, oh, well, you're right. I'm sorry. I won't talk in this name anymore. I see the, you know, the company has a rule against me talking, the company, the school has a rule against me having a Bible or talking to people about my faith. My neighbor doesn't want to hear it. Maybe my family, I don't know. But God says, no, you don't shut up. You don't give up. And their answer was, we ought to obey God rather than men. Same spirit that we should have. We do have, rather. Okay, there's one more here. You look over at Acts chapter 8 in verses 1 through 4. You know, Stephen, he's dead. Saul is persecuting the church. There's a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And all the saints, except for the apostles, they were all scattered all throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, just gone. And when you look at verse 2 there, look at verse 2 of Acts 8. Devout men buried Stephen. In verse 3, Saul, he makes havoc on the church, entering every house, dragging men and women off to prison and committing them to prison. No, who knows what else? Consenting to their death, we read in other places. But again, what was their response? What was their, did they say, oh, we need to run and hide. We need to shut up. We need to stop talking about this Jesus because look at all the trouble and the persecution and all the trials and all the problems. We just shut up and life will be good. Is that what they did? Is that what they said? No, they had the same spirit. They didn't cower down in fear. You look at verse 4. What does it tell you? Therefore, it says, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. You know, this house doesn't want to hear. I'm dust off my feet and I'm going to the next one. This town doesn't want to hear. I'm dusting off my feet and I'm going to the next one. That's the Spirit of God. My boss at work doesn't want to hear. I'm going to go to the next one. Satan wants us to give up and shut up. God says, no, you don't give up. You don't shut up. And I've shown you the Spirit through many men in history. You know, the prophets of Baal, King Ahab, Elijah, what happened? You're going to go before, he's going to kill you, Elijah. He's going to kill you. No, I'm going to go anyway. And he did. And the Spirit of the Lord was with him many times. So what we know about this is that faith must be based on faith. Okay? It sounds kind of redundant, but it's true. Our faith has to be based on faith. In other words, it must rest upon what God said. Gad, it should be God, what God said. And we know what he said. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's how our faith is based on the faith, the word of God. It isn't what we feel. It isn't what we wish. It isn't what we attribute to God in our own subjective ways. It is the true faith that has foundation. It's the rock of God's word. It's the rock of Christ. It's what we stand on. And that's where our spirit comes from. And when you think about that, the word produces faith. Right? Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's what faith does. That's what the Word does. It's converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Powerful stuff. And when you think about that in John chapter 11, you know, Jesus, the power of Christ, everything that he did proves and produces faith. The chief priests, the Pharisees, they're all gathered together there. You know, the council. They're, what are we going to do with this man, with this Jesus? He's done many works, many signs. You know, what are we going to do with him? If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and the nation. They're all consumed with themselves. They don't have the Spirit of God. If they had the Spirit of God, they would know the Scriptures and be able to apply the Scriptures and understand who Jesus was. Proofs. Feeding the 5,000, he proved it. Walking on water, he proved it. Calming the storms, the wind, the waves, he proved it. Being resurrected from the dead, he proved it. We have that Spirit, which is the same Spirit that goes all the way back to Noah and all the generations of believers, obedient men and women in Christ. And, you know, think of Ruth, Naomi, what faith? And we don't want to forget all the fulfilled prophecies. We have a Spirit that is powerful because we know about the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And we also know about all the prophecies that were fulfilled. Over 300 prophecies fulfilled. Many of those are fulfilled in the time of Christ's life. Way beyond any number that I could muster up. The probability of being able to fulfill just 10 in a row. 300. Right? I have that Spirit of understanding, that Spirit of faith, that Spirit of power, that Spirit of boldness. Right? We were not given the Spirit of fear. We have strength and power because of the same Spirit that was in all those godly men before us. Then you don't want to forget the harmony of Scriptures. And we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so from Adam all forward, there is hope. Authority and power. We have that same Spirit. The resurrection of Christ. And faith leads us to this. It leads us to speak God's word. 1 Peter chapter 4, if anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God provides or supplies, that all the things of God may be glorified. All these things glorify God. And we do that because we have the same Spirit. It's all the more reason to study to show ourselves approved. Workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, because the more this word we have in us, the stronger our spirit is, and the more apt we are to say, you can't shut me up. I can't help but speak of the things that I have seen and heard or read and understood, come to believe. You can't shut me up. I fear God, not man. And as a result, by studying, we're sanctifying God in our hearts and we're ready to give answers. Not to shut up, but we're ready to give answers to everyone that asks of us with the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. We have that Spirit. That Spirit of God. We're not struck down. We're not destroyed. Because we have that Spirit of God. Teach me to do your will, O Lord. You are my God. Your Spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness, David said. Oh, it would be so nice if we all were able to say those words. It would be so nice if we were all able to say, you know, because of the truth that is found in God's Word, I have obeyed the gospel. Because at that point in time, we all would end up with the same Spirit. The Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of power, and the Spirit of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. If anyone has a need this night, please, I would encourage you to not wait one more second. Come and be partakers of the same Spirit through the blood of Christ, through baptism. And if we're members of the church and we've been kind of feeling like we need to shut up, or we need to hide, but we need a little help. And we're here to help in either way. We have a song of invitation, song 291, Nothing But the Blood. How appropriate is that? Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.
What can wash away?